Yeah, hi. Yeah, my name is Gregor Hummel. I'm the CEO of Phenospex. I'm a plant biologist. And I will be talking about the platform which we have developed in India. And so I would like to talk a little bit about the technology, but I would like rather to focus actually how this technology is used for plant breeding. Yeah, the company, again, it's Phenospex. We are based in the Netherlands. We are a team of plant biologists, engineers, software developers, and we build actually sensor technologies and analytics platforms in order to help different group of peoples, which are including scientists, which are including breeders, horticulture industry, and agriculture. I mean, all these people are evaluating crops, are assessing crops, and at Phenospex we would like to give them automated tools to extract these parameters. And we do that by, on the left side here, maybe I can use a pointer. So we develop different sensor technologies like 3D laser scanners, multispectral scanners, gravimetric systems. So sensors in order to get the best possible data from plants. And then we have developing like an engine which is then transforming this raw data into actionable information, either to serve biologists or breeders with information, like data, or like if it's going to a direction of horticulture or agriculture, that we feed machines and robots which are acting after or using with our information. So that's what we do at Phenospex. But much more interesting is now what I want to explain you now. That's a showcase we did in central India together with ICRISAT. ICRISAT is an institute here at Hyderabad. They are breeding actually crops for semi-arid tropics. And they came across our company a couple of years ago, and they were asking to help them with the phenotyping of, or the automated phenotyping of their germplasm. And that's a bit the story which I would like to tell you what we developed there and why we developed it. So the thing is, what they when they came to see us, they came across, they did very or had a very clear understanding of what kind of environment they are breeding for. So what they did is what they call envirotyping. So they took data, climatic data from the past 20 years, and then they made some cluster analysis, and they came up with five different scenarios which have different probabilities. So you have scenarios where you don't have, so this is actually the stress index, that is time. So you have scenarios where you don't have any stress, then you have scenarios where you have a stress which is recovering because there's some rain coming, and then there's different other dynamics of stresses, and they come across with different probabilities. What they found out that in 25%, that's a stress, what they call a terminal drought stress, and that obviously has also an impact on yield. So when you have these kind of stress scenario that doesn't have any impact actually on your yield, however, in these terminal stresses, it reduces almost to 0 tons per hectare. So actually it was quite clear what kind environment these guys were breeding for. So at ICRISAT then they came across also with this slide, so they had a pretty clear idea what mechanism they are looking for, and they were looking for water saving traits. And they did this graph, that's basically the work of Vincent Vadès, with many, many and very tedious manual measurements. So what you see here is the water use efficient, or the water use of plants in function of time. And here are different genotypes, and they came across that there are some genotypes which are at high water availability. They transpired or they used not so much water at the early phase, but later on they were transpiring or using more water, comparing to other ones which using more water when there was a lot of water available in the soil, compared to the end. And the difference between these genotypes is that this guy here are the guys which has at the end less water in the soil and which could use, had less water to fill their grains, compared to the other guys which were just saving water in the soil and had this water labeled for the grain filling period. So they came across with that, so they knew, we are looking for water saving traits. And then they were looking actually at this, or using this this trait dissection model from the Apsin. So you know that at the end everybody is breeding for high yield. However, in this model, yield is an integrated or highly integrated parameter of many, many different traits which depend on the environment you're breeding for. And since they were looking for water-saving trait, they identified that actually what they need to understand, or they have to select the crops, is for traits which are controlling, let's say, the transpiration rates, the transpiration efficiency, but also growth. Because the growth, or how a canopy is developed, how a canopy is deployed, also, I mean, if you have a big canopy, that will also feed a lot of transpiration. So that was pretty clear for them what they want to look like. They want to understand actually the transpiration rates under certain environments, and they also want to understand what are the growth dynamics of these crops. They knew from the germplasm already that they have a lot of variety in the dynamics. So they have crops which grow very fast at the beginning, and at the end they have a very high leaf area. However, they had also crops which grow, or varieties which grow slowly, but they ended up with a small canopy. So they have these dynamics in their growth. And also they know from experiment that they have different transpiration rates. So this is the pattern which shows the transpiration rate in function of the water pressure deficit, which is actually the driving force. It's something like the driving force of transpiration. And then in the germplasm, they found some guys with a very steep curve. So plants which are increasing strongly, the transpiration rate in function of VPD, are the ones which are less steep. And you also find some varieties which can downregulate at a certain point. So they had this germplasm, so now they were asking for somebody to help them to fully automate their phenotyping of their germplasm. So that's when we came into the game. So we said, okay, we need a machine which is able to analyze the growth, and we need a machine or way to analyze the transpiration rate fully automatically of thousands of lines. So first what we took is one of our products, what is called the Plant Eye. The Plant Eye is a machine which is actually a 3D laser scanner. So it generates 3D models of plants by moving the scanner over the plants. And additionally, we have also an LED flashing unit where we can illuminate the scene. So actually it's also something like a multispectral sensor. However, it is using active light. So really shoot with a flash in different, so you can actually customize your scanner. And we flash with an LED flashing unit, which you can customize to your bands, illuminate the scene. So we have 3D point clouds with color information or multispectral information. So you generate some beautiful images like that. So that's a 3D model. In this case, it's tomato. That's with the RGB color. And this is, for instance, the near-infrared. This year, I mean, since we have all the spectral bands, we can also automatically compute the NDVI, just to show you the potential. We can also use this information to segment our point clouds. However, at the end, these are beautiful images, but we need to get numbers out of that. So we also have an analytics pipeline, which is processing these images in real time and extracting a bunch of different parameters. Most of them are morphological parameters like plant height, 3D leaf area, leaf inclination, etc., also biomass, but we have also color index, vegetation indices, etc. However, for the case at Equizat, they are only interested in the leaf canopy, the deployment of the leaf canopy. That was required. So we had this. Somehow you need obviously to move the sensors over your plants. So we're using here a rig, which is actually an irrigation rig, which is quite cost efficient. So this guy is actually transporting our sensors. You see the sensors are mounted on the rig. They can be moved laterally. So this rig is going up and down and moving laterally. So we can actually measure all the crops on this platform. Yeah, that's how we assess the growth rate. So every day we measure each crop several times a day, up to four times. The total capacity of this platform are about 10,000 plants. So that's for the leaf area. However, how do we assess the transpiration rates? So therefore, we're using a gravimetric system. That means these guys here, these are balances. So you can put the pot on here, and we're just tracking the weight. And since the plant is transpiring, so it's losing weight, we're just tracking that and can transfer that into transpiration. Obviously, there's some evaporation in that, but there's tricks to get along with that. So this is the technical, or the platform we have established. And now I would like to show you some data from the platform. So this is some information from these load cells here, from these gravimetric platforms, and that's in the field. Again, this is time. This is the total, like really absolute values. I showed you this graph because it shows you how clean actually the data look like. That's during the night. That's during the day, during the night. So you see during the night there's almost no transpiration. Then sun comes out, strong transpiration again. And here we did a little experiment to test whether the machine or the system is really responding to a treatment. So we added a sodium chloride solution to it. That's why you see here there's an increase in the weight, because we added that to the pots. And then we keep on measuring the transpiration. The thing is, with absolute values, it's difficult. So actually what you need is the transpiration rate per hour. So that's actually exactly the same data, just transformed per hour. So you see again here, that's during the night, during the day, during the night. And you see these are the control plants. Here we just added water. Here we added the sodium chloride solution, and you see from here to here there's a difference. So really our system could, let's say, identify and see that there's a clear physiological response. From this graph you can also see that actually it's not enough to just measure the transpiration rates, because you see these guys here, they're transpiring more than these guys. It's just because that were bigger plants. So actually what we need to add is also to understand what is actually the transpiration rate per leaf area. And that's why the plant eye, or the automated the leaf area, comes into the game. So that's then these typical graphs what we have. Here again it's the time. Here is what you see is the transpiration rate in milligrams per measured leaf area, which we get from the sensor, and then per second. And then you can really compare the different genotypes. So you see here, that's again over the day, so there's the plants are transpiring. This is the standard error. And you see from day to day, it's varying a little bit. I mean, that's clear because it's not in a greenhouse, it's outside. So every day you have a slightly different water pressure deficit. And if we take out these and we look a little bit closer to these two different genotypes, you see that at midday, when you have the highest VPD, you have this genotype, which is just transpiring more than this genotype here. It's a very small difference. Yeah, it's about 5 to 10%, which the machine was able to identify. However, under terminal drought stress, this one here will just have or save more water over the period. And that means that this guy here had more than 1 ton per hectare compared to this one, which had 0 tons, right? I mean, it's really small difference on the platform, which has a big effect later on. So now they're using the platform to, let's say, screen all the germplasm and to look for these water-saving traits. So that's about information about the gravimetric system. Here is some data to give you a feeling about the growth rates. I told you that the dynamics, how a plant is exposing its leaf area, is also telling you how much actually the water will be used. And this example is actually, they found a QTL, and this QTL had a water-saving trait. So they cloned this QTL into a parental line. So this is the parental line. That's the same genetic background, but with this QTL. And you see clearly that there is a difference in growth rate, the way the canopy was deployed, which could be identified as well with this machine. Also here, it's tiny differences which we could identify, which has big effects later on. Another example I would like to share with you is different hybrids which were measured also on this platform. We have three hybrids which were bred for different regions. So we have the A1 region, which is a very dry zone. It's below 400 millimeters of rain. And also these were measured with these platforms, and we compared the data. And also clearly you can see the differentiation between these hybrids which were grown for a very dry region compared to the other one, and the system was also able to identify that. So that's quite it what I wanted to share with you. The interesting thing for us, or why I'm showing this project, is because here it was very well defined what these researchers were looking for, and that's not always the case, especially in this era of digital phenotyping. We have lots of sensors and people are measuring a lot of data, and then they hope to look at the data and think that this data will solve the questions. In this case, the people had a very clear question in mind, a very clear trait which we needed to measure. So we could define and reduce that to only measure these traits very, very simply, but very robust, and then really produce reliable data. So that's why we really like that project. Thank you very much. So I'm open for questions. Otherwise, we have a booth, 732. Just drop by and we can talk in more detail. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know they don't do that. They're in this platform, they screen the plant up to 6 weeks. The reason for that is occlusion. I mean, we have a very nice estimation of the leaf area. As soon you can see the entire leaf area. If the plants are getting bigger, you have occlusion. So that's a problem because our laser scanners are using light. So we have a way to get around that by combining several sensors. That's a way that you can do. But for their application, they were really saying we need to understand the growth period within the first 6 weeks. That is enough. So they also tested that. So for them, it's enough. If it's later on, the estimation for leaf area biomass will be reduced. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe there's one more. Sorry. Whether it covers overlapping leaves? Yeah, no, that's what I just said here. Overlap is always a problem. I mean, if you have a leaf like that, yeah, and the sensor is looking from top down, you will see this leaf, but here that will be that leaf minus this leaf here, right?
Yeah.
So that's a problem. So what we can do is that we have, if you look top down, you have this problem. However, you can change or have different sensors which are looking on different angle. So you can overcome that or reduce that error, but it will be always there. And at the end, it strongly depends on your question and the signal you're looking for. I mean, in many cases, sometimes you don't, I mean, you can cope with that error, right? Sometimes not. That really depends on your research question. In this case, it was sufficient, which was tested up front. So they did a lot of... Sorry?
It's basically the estimate.
Yeah, correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.